please take the Bible and turn to Judges chapter number 6. We've been looking at emotions and how they really negatively, most of our life is negatively impacted by emotions. And some of the greatest mistakes in life are made because of decisions that we make based upon how we feel. One of the greatest atrocities of mankind was made in the Garden of Eden. And it was a decision to eat of the tree of the that God had forbid. And that decision was based on a lie. And look where we are now. So, well, it's not so bad. But listen, some people don't realize how bad it is because we don't realize how good Adam did have it. But we have it even better now because of Christ. We're in Christ, those who have put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're still in a sin-cursed world. But that lie brought upon mankind all his troubles and all his woes. And we've looked at our emotions and realized that our emotions will lie to us. And we've looked at fear, we've looked at insecurity, we've looked at bitterness and sermons past and a variety of other emotions. But today we're going to look at emotion that you might not think is that big of a deal, but it is. And as we've listed a series of enemies that Israel would face in Deuteronomy chapter 7. And the enemy that we're looking at today is the enemy of worthlessness. There are many people who feel like they live in last place because of circumstances or whatever in life. And it may be a surprise to you to think, well, I know so-and-so, and they always win at everything. They got trophies, they got the college degrees, they got the nice house, they got this, and they have this and that and the other. And you would be surprised how many, quote-unquote, seemingly successful people or accomplished people still deal with this feeling of worthlessness at times in life. And for some, it's a plague. It has kind of dogged them or followed them all of their life. And it is an emotion, again, that is based on a lie. And if we believe this lie, as we have noted before, that when we believe these emotions, we buy into them. They have a lot of bad friends, like, you know, bandits, like a gang of marauders or whatever, just comes with them. Like fear has its own set of friends that he brings to the table and wants to beat you up. So this idea of worthlessness has some buddies that he brings to you and beats you up. And one of those is discouragement. One of those buddies he brings to the table is depression. And we see here that these emotions are really just that. They are a lie. And we want to look at this morning because one thing we try to get across to these kids in VBS is they are worth something because God created them. And you would be surprised how many young people, even reared in church, go off course in their teen years, not because of there's a variety of things why some many times, but one thing is that they are constantly bombarded with Darwinism and they lose the sense that they have an accountability to God and they're worth nothing because there is no accountability to God. You come from mud and you're going to return to mud and you're just an amoeba that come from a tadpole that turned into a monkey somewhere along the line. That is not what the Bible teaches. All people are worth a great deal to God because he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross of Calvary. In Judges chapter number 6, we have an individual here by the name of Gideon. Many people have heard of Gideon and realized and a lot of sermons preached on Gideon. And we want to look at him this morning and we want to look at a lady tonight, an unloved wife tonight when she feels unworthy or worthless. But today we're going to look at a man this morning because I firmly believe if we can get men going in the right direction for God, we can see God do a great thing in our country. And so we want to look at, start with the man. Not that man's any less important, but man is under attack today. The manhood. And we want to reinforce what God has said in His Word about manhood. God wants men to leave their homes. Not as a brutal dictator, but in a loving way. But most of the time, because of circumstances in life, men deal with their own emotions. Women deal with their own emotions. In Judges chapter number 6, we're going to read the first 6 verses here. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. Now you want to note that, 7 years. Verse 2. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. And so it was, when Israel had sown, that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came against them. And they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth, till thou come into Gaza, and left no substance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude. For both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to, what's this word here? Destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. Now, the emotion that we're looking at today is worthlessness. And we'll look a little bit more about that word tonight. But when we look at this situation here with Gideon, where do we find Gideon? Let's pick up verse 11. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak tree, which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abrazite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Gideon here has reaped a bounty of wheat, and now he's down behind the wine press, if you will, hiding from the Midianites. And so we can see in Gideon's life that he understands what it is like to live with a mindset of circumstances where you feel oppressed and you're feeling like you're living in last place. Has anybody ever felt like you're living in last place at times in life? You see, it had turned out that Gideon had not followed the false god of Baal, but there are many other people that had followed the false god of Baal. And there are times in life, not that you have necessarily done anything terribly wrong, but because of people that you're closely associated with have maybe done some things or allowed some things in their lives, that because of such, it has impacted your life in a negative way. And we can find this in parenting a lot, or coming up in a what we call a dysfunctional, a broken home, or terrible circumstances in a home. And this is where Gideon kind of find himself. It wasn't that Gideon had fallen the false god of Baal, but all his countrymen had begun to follow Baal. And he was down behind the winepress threshing the wheat all by himself. You see, others had turned from God, but not Gideon. But what others had done had impacted Gideon's life. You see, just tolerating the unpleasant circumstances was a terrible thing. And it can weigh on our emotions at times. You see, Gideon could not reap the benefits of what he believed his full potential in life would be because of what his circumstances had fallen out in life. And you see, he was laboring to produce, but his laboring didn't seem to have any known benefit. And also we can see where Gideon had a low appraisal of himself. Now, you may, again, you may not know, realize, or have a low appraisal, but I'm going to tell you something. It doesn't take but just a circumstance away from happening, and you can feel this way in life. You feel like worthless, like life is not worth living. You see, Gideon had a low appraisal of himself. Look at verse number 15. And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. You see, Gideon said he's of the least. In other words, he lost his purpose in life. The circumstances had beaten him down, so he didn't have much of an ambition to do anything in life. And you know what this kind of mentality brings? It brings a risky lifestyle. It brings a lifestyle, well, nothing's worth living for, so what do I care? I'm going to start living a lifestyle of behavior that may destroy my own body or destroy my own life. Well, sex out of God's will, or it may be alcohol or drugs or something like that. In other words, Gideon's in a situation, he's not trying to better himself. I preached a sermon here a few months ago about what we have a problem in Martinsburg is this. People do not have a high vision of God. Therefore, they live so low. And this is where Gideon is in life. You see, his circumstances dictated how he felt about himself and about his true potential in this life. And when people live that way, oftentimes because of situations in life, they have two options. One is a safe option. They don't try to go and better themselves. They don't try to seek God. They don't try to go to church and realize God can do something with their life. Because if they choose the safe option, it remains I have pain reduction in my life. There, I don't have to deal with disappointment. I can deal with worthlessness, but I'm not going to change my life. I'm not going to try to move forward. I'm not going to seek God about things in my life. You see, no pain comes when I don't try to attempt anything. You see, Gideon had a lot of complaints, but he didn't have an answer. Is that you? You got a lot of complaints, but you don't have an answer. He had a lot of questions, but he didn't have the right answer. He complained to God. He talked to God about his worthless condition. You see, he got in the safe mode where he didn't try to do anything about his situation. He just said, you know what? I'd rather live a life of regret. I'd rather live a life of disappointment than really try to seek God and see what God can do with my current situation. So he opted for the safe option. And the other option is this. Well, I don't feel like I can change my situation. I'd just rather feel worthless and complain about it and put up with the Midianites in my life. And I don't have to deal with any uneasiness, so I don't have to really face whether or not I need to change in my life. I don't want to have to challenge myself. I don't want to put myself through any strain or rigor to increase my virtue in life. And so it's just easier for me to stay right here and complain against God, complain against everybody else. I don't have any mountains to climb. I don't have any goals, any ambition whatsoever. I feel worthless. I am worthless. Therefore, I'm going to stay and remain worthless in my own estimation. Now, you may think that people don't live this way, but people do. And this is why people don't change. How many of you know somebody that seems like they're stuck where they're at? And this is one thing that we can perhaps show them from God's Word where God can be a great help to them. You see, Gideon's circumstance have basically beaten him down, and he has basically accepted his circumstances in life. You see, this develops into a prolonged frame of mindset. The Midianites have been there how long? How many years? 7 years. You see, 7 years of living in last place, 7 years of being defeated. People who are sometimes see themselves living in last place will adopt this mindset, adopt this way to live as a way of life. And you see, that is not how God wants us to live. God has a purpose for every life. God has a purpose for every life. You see, Gideon's view of himself was different than what God's view of Gideon life was. Look at verse 12. God's view was this. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou what? Mighty man of valor. And you see, when you tell people who have been beaten down, they have very little to show for in life. They have very little accomplishment, very little in life because of a variety of circumstances. We can pull a variety of scenarios out of life that may wind people up in this situation. But the fact of the matter is, you see, God knew where Gideon was. But you see, Gideon, even though he was talking to God and asking God, God, why don't you do something? He wasn't having that true connectivity that God wanted him to have with God. And when he had that connectivity, buddy, let me tell you something, great things begin to happen. You see, here in verse number 12, God was saying, thou art a mighty man of valor. But Gideon's estimation of himself was, look, you must be talking about the wrong guy. You must be thinking about the wrong person. And you see, there are people, even in this room today, who have been beaten down. Somebody told you when you were little, you're no good, you're nothing. Maybe it was a parent, maybe it was somebody, something in your life, something that you may have allowed into your life that has gotten you to the point to feel like you're totally worthless. And this is the way it is. Nothing's going to change in your life. And you're saying, God, help me. God, please do something in my life. As Gideon was doing, he was asking in verse number 13. Notice what Gideon's questions were. He says, and Gideon said unto him, oh, my Lord, if, you see this, if the Lord is be with us, then why? You ask a lot of questions like, why? God, why is it this way? Why can't I get above this glass ceiling in my life? Why do I have to live in such a minuscule, beaten down condition in my life? And by the way, you can be driving a Ferrari and be living this way. This is not just only singularly talking about economic value. I'm talking about people who have a true battle with a worthlessness in their life. It brings, as we noted, a sense of depression, a sense of discouragement, and also a sense of failure in life. And we ask, why? Gideon's notice in verse 13, he's saying, why? If the Lord be with us, then why? Then is all this befallen us? And not only does he say that, he goes on to where. And he says, where be the miracles which our fathers told us, saying? Where can, in other words, when you're sitting here listening to something like this, and you may be feeling this way or talking to someone who is feeling this emotion of worthlessness. By the way, you wonder why people don't come to church? It's always the reason, often opposite of why they tell you. And 99% of the time, it's emotion. They're dealing with something. I'm worthless. I failed. I've done something wrong. I can't measure up. And these are the very people God wants to use and do something with. The very people, because we've all been there. If we'd be honest about it. You see, Gideon began to look at things and ask these questions. Why? And he began to ask, where is God in all this chaos? Where are the miracles at? Where are the miracles in my life that I heard the preacher talk about? Where is all of this? Listen. Gideon's view of himself was different than that of God's. And it is not until we come to believe that God can, will, and He wants to do something with every life. Now, here's the problem. We mentioned America, how great America is. You can live a life that appears to be successful in America and still be feeling worthless. And by the way, at some point you will. I don't care how much money you're going to have in your bank or how many college degrees you have or whatever accomplishments you may think you've accomplished. You're going to have to come to this realization of dealing with this attitude of worthlessness at some point. You know why? Because God created man to fellowship with God. And our life never will feel worthful unless we come to that realization. That's what we try to teach these kids. They're created in God's image. They're created in God's image. Now notice here in verse number 12, God saw Gideon in what he could be. You see, our value resides in not what we have, not what we've done, good or bad, but our value resides in who you belong to. Who you belong to. Have you ever put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and become His eternal possession? You see, it's not about self-esteem, it's about Christ's esteem. It's not about what we accomplished, but about what He accomplished on Calvary. You see, and it doesn't even stop there, because Christians can be saved and still feel worthless. Because you too and I also can ask questions like why and where. And you see, attitude This is all that there is. This is what Gideon saw. This is what it is. There's no embetterment here. There's no me getting any better. This is what it is. And his attitude was totally different than what God saw him to be. You see, God would work to build Gideon if Gideon would work with God. We don't have to work for our salvation. And we don't have to work to be worth something to God. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But when it comes to practical life, listen, we do have to cooperate with God on some things. I often tell people, look, if you feel like God wants you to be a doctor and you feel like you're living in a glass ceiling, but you don't have enough faith to go to college, God's not going to make you a doctor because you do have to go get some formal training. So you've got to follow some prescriptions here of life. And I've known people that won't follow through in doing greater things in their own personal life because they have this sense of worthlessness in their life. This is the way it is. You see? And Gideon was revealed his true insufficiency. He realized he was nothing. But that is not a bad thing. That sets us up for one of the greatest things God has ever given man. You know what that is? That's grace. That is grace. You see, so when we look at verse number 7. And he said unto him, if now I have found grace in thy sight. How many appreciate God for his mercy? How many have known the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ? You remember Paul when he wrote in several places he talks about the riches of God's grace? Listen, God wants to bless our lives. And this is the difference between, Paul put a qualifying word, the riches of God's grace in Christ Jesus. You know what the riches of God's grace is? This is when God starts hanging ornaments on your life, like on a Christmas tree. That tree's pretty when you put it up, but what happens when you put some ornaments on it? It starts to glisten. It starts to have a great deal of beauty to it, right? True? This is where God starts to put some ornaments on your life. He says, look, you're worth something. You're worth something. And he starts blessing in certain areas, and he hangs certain ornaments on your life, where you see that you are valuable, that God can do something with you, that God wants to do something with you. And you may be sitting there saying, Pastor, I don't need this sermon. I'm going to tell you something. There's going to be a time in your life you're going to feel worthless if you don't already. And this is a great emotional battle. You see, Gideon was believing a lie that he was absolutely worthless and could not do anything. In number 17, I'm wrong. I had a note on top of my verse. A numerical verse there. But in verse 17, Gideon clued in on something. He said unto him, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a what? Sign. Now that's weak faith, but I'm going to tell you something. If you're here today and you're thinking, well, what can God do with me? How can God help me? Listen, Gideon wanted to move forward. And notice this slow yet but sure relationship building method that God did with Gideon. Listen, we have to be patient with people who are dealing with some insufficiencies. Gideon said, if you have grace in my sight, if I found grace in thy sight, show me a sign. And he went on to say, and depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee and bring forth my present and set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou come again. You see, now Gideon is curious. And maybe today you're just a little bit curious that God can do something. He can change your circumstance. He can change your life. And what God did was after that, to expedite the message this morning, God did a miracle right here. And he slowly and methodically built this relationship with Gideon where he went on to do extraordinary great things and turn his whole family to God. Amen. Now before, Gideon was going, God, you got the wrong guy. This is not me. There's no way that I can do this. You see, you were not meant to do life alone. You were meant to do life with God. Amen. And we forget that. Many people forget that. And you see, Gideon realizes His true power is in the grace of God. You see, to people who just drive by our church, oh, that's just theological concepts. No. For those of us who have realized that God can do something with people's lives, God can make something out of somebody's out of nobody's. He can do great things. And you see, Gideon had a life-changing experience in verse number 16. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. Now think about what that did to Gideon's mind. He's like, oh, I can't do that. Imagine how crushing that is. How many ever tried to attempt something that's like, you know, I'm going to fail this before I even start. You ever had that? I'm going to fail this before I ever start. I was telling somebody recently, I come up doing just menial jobs, working in wood mills and all this kind of thing. And I don't want to give this illustration about myself, but just as a testimony to God's goodness. Can I do that? I come up doing all kind of odd jobs, working construction, this kind of thing, and I always felt God had something higher for me. But I went to school, and I started fighting in school at about age 5. Not that I was a bad boy. I was getting picked on, pulled knives, getting pulled on me, and all kind of stuff. So I went to school in survival mode. I didn't go to school to learn. I went to school to survive. And academics was not something I was even remotely interested in. I went to school fearful. And I was in my late 20s and only realized then why my academics wasn't what it should be. And looking back, I always thought I was subpar and everything else. As a matter of fact, when I went to get my high school transcripts to go to college, the high school, what do you call those people, the council or whatever, yeah, she just didn't say that. She jumped up and said this. She said, you're too stupid to go to college. And I went to college, and for a year and a half, I failed. A year and a half. I went back to doing my little menial jobs, discouraged, defeated, the whole nine yards. I felt like God had something for me. Scared to death, trapped, frustrated, very much like Gideon. God, what am I going to do in life? I'm frustrated with my job. I got to do something. God said, go back to college. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. I felt just like Gideon. I picked the smallest school, only about maybe 800 students that I could go to, and I went. And I signed up for a criminal justice program. And I'm standing in the hall. I'm rehearsing all my failures. I'm rehearsing what my high school counselor said. And every now and then, a word from my dad would come back to you, son, you can do whatever you want to. I've seen it in you. But that was a small, weak voice. The rest of the voices was, you're going to repeat what you've already started. You're going to be a failure. You're going to let this, your life is not going to amount to anything. So I'm standing there in the hallway waiting on my criminal law professor to come through the door so we can all get class started. And there was a guy standing next to me and one across the hall. This guy over here asked this one, he said, what class are you taking? He said, criminal law. He said, oh, man, you have Dr. McCormick. He said, dude, I remember him saying, dude, you're toast. He's like, oh, really? Why? He said, you wouldn't believe, he said, people leave this college so they don't have to take his classes. This is my first class. My heart is right here, pulsating, and I got this voice screaming in my ear, quit now, save yourself the embarrassment. Quit now, save yourself the embarrassment. And so the Dr. McCormick comes in. We all go sit down. I get in on the back row. I'm like, this back row is too close to the front. Somebody needs to put a hole in the wall. You know. So I get in the back row, and he begins to talk, and he says, I just want you to know. He said, if anybody here makes an A, it'll be the last A you ever make in this class, I promise you. I will make the test 10 times harder. Let me fast forward a little bit. About a week after that, I went into his office, and I heard him stomping the floor, and I asked his secretary, and I said, why is he doing that? She said, somebody made an A. He gets mad when somebody makes an A. I'm going, doom, doom, you know. So we hadn't had any test yet, but that was another class. So I'm getting all these real life circumstances telling me I'm done. I am done for. You understand? And I'm thinking, God, you told me to come here, but I'm defeated. I know I am. Well, back to his syllabus. He went back and he was going over his syllabus. He says, if you make a B here, I guarantee you'll be an A anywhere else except for an Ivy League school. And I walk out of that class that day thinking, I need to quit. I need to quit. God helped me to squeak some C's out the first two tests. The last test counted like 50%. And I'm really sweating this thing. I studied all night long, and about 3 o'clock in the morning, I realized I had 300 Latin terms to memorize, correct spelling, and definition. Here I am, head pulsating again. There's no way. I've wasted my money, my time. Everybody's going to know I'm a failure. Everybody. Everybody knows I'm back in college, especially my family. They know, they knew I went a year and a half, failed every subject. Every subject. I'm studying these Latin terms at 3 o'clock in the morning, drinking two-day-old coffee, anything I can get my hands on to stay awake. I drive to class, take the test, and somehow, I don't know what I made on the exam, but I know I had a C going into it. And by God's grace, and again, this is a testimony of God's grace, I pulled a B out of that class. And that was the one thing I needed from God. Now, 3 college degrees later, I stand before you and tell you, I know what it's like to live worthless, to think you've hit a ceiling, this is as good as it's going to get in your life. You see, God made man not to live life alone. God didn't make life for us to do it alone. We're meant to walk with God. There's some of you right here now. You've hit a glass ceiling. You know good and well. You know good and well God has more for you. But because of how you've lived, maybe how you raised or some things you've faced, you say, can I do it? Can I really go higher? Can God really do something with me? I didn't have the chance. I didn't have the opportunity. I was down, had other people's circumstances affecting my life just like Gideon did. You see, it wasn't that I was dumb. It was the people picking on me in school. I just couldn't learn, didn't learn. I was fighting all through. And I didn't realize that the years later. You see, if that's you here today, don't think of yourself living subpar. God has a plan for you. God has a plan for you. But you're going to have to understand that God and His work doesn't stop at the church out. It goes out here in the real world. And God can do great things with people who feel really small. And He can. And I don't share that testimony about anything other than I know how it is to think you've been you can't accomplish things. And from there, just like in Gideon's life, God started adding things, greater things in my life. And I'm like, at a certain point, I'm like, God, there's nothing you can do. What are we going to do with life now? Let's get it going. And there's a total mind shift change when you see God. God is for you. And God can use you. And God wants to bless you. Many people live the way they're living because we do not have a true vision of our high, holy, mighty, powerful God in life. Is that you here today? Are you living in last place? When you believe in your heart, you can win with God's help. Let's pray. God gave Gideon faith builders along the way. His whole perception of life changed. His whole perception of himself changed. Gideon got to know this one true God in a way that, just like Paul says, I can do all things through Christ. All things through Christ. Father, I pray today that there's some folks in our midst who feel like they're living in last place. And they're scared to step out and smite the Midianites as one man, as you told Gideon. They're afraid to step out into that higher realm of what you can do in their life. Father, it's not just about an education. It's about stepping out and trusting you with spiritual things in our lives that impacts the practical everyday life. Lord, I pray today that if there's one here that does not know Christ, let today be the day they trust Christ as their personal Savior. Father, for those who are willing to stay behind the wine press and just live and deal with the circumstances that life has given them, Lord, I pray today that you will help them to see that they don't have to live a life in last place and feel worthless. Father, I pray today you do a great work in our life. Help us not to believe this emotional lie that you're not worth anything because of decisions and because of choices, because of other people, whatever the case may be. Father, do your work as only you can, and we'll praise you for that. In Jesus' name.